You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back here to a brand new episode of the show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Wherever you are, all across Broncos country, from the South Stands to the end zone, you are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network, your team every day. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, senior NFL analyst for Pro Football Network and Denver Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. You can follow the podcast at Locked On Broncos. Like us on Facebook, and make sure you guys hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify for daily listening coverage all year long, 5 days a week on your Denver Broncos every single day in your favorite podcast provider. But with that said, ladies and gentlemen, today's episode of the show, we're going to focus a little bit on the Broncos general manager search as it's unfolding, because it is now crunch time and time is dwindling down. The Broncos are expected to have their candidate in place, the offer, the acceptance they're hoping for by the end of the week. We're going to give you an update on the Broncos GM search. Obviously, a second round of interviews were conducted altogether by Denver yesterday. We're going to talk about that. Plus, we talk with Broncos country as to what the new general manager should focus on. Should they focus on the offense or should they focus solely on the defense? I know that's a generic question to ask, but taking a look at what's more important for the Broncos to really invest in this offseason for the new GM, we talk about that here on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. So with that said, folks, let's get into the action right here, right now, on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. An update on the Broncos search for a brand new general manager that will take over and begin the post-John Elway era in Denver. It's begun to heat up a little bit. The Broncos conducted their second round of interviews with a couple of sought-after candidates around the National Football League, and they interviewed Terry Fontenot, VP and Assistant General Manager of Pro Personnel of the New Orleans Saints yesterday via Zoom, due to the fact that Fontenot and the Saints are in the playoffs right now, COVID protocols obviously, and he's not able to travel out of the building for that. So he conducted a Zoom interview early in the morning for the Broncos. The interview, according to media reports, suggested that they were impressed with his interview. However, there is a growing sense around the NFL, and Benjamin Albright, good friend of the show, had reported this on PFN Weekly yesterday, that Fontenot is expected to potentially be a favorite for the Atlanta Falcons job right there. The Broncos, they obviously are very impressed with Fontenot. They're also impressed with Gary Payton, the assistant general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, and he had his second interview yesterday as well. He flew to Denver. This was an in-person interview for Payton, who has a very strong reputation around the National Football League. Obviously, Gary Kubiak has some influence there in that, because Gary Kubiak worked in Minnesota this past year with the Vikings, who obviously was a consultant at some point 2 years ago altogether when Vic Fangio became the head coach in Denver. We all knew that Denver wanted to, you know, have him as the OC, but obviously there were a lot of things in contingency for Gary Kubiak wanting certain guys on staff. Obviously, that did not fly with the general manager, obviously with John Elway, and with the identity where the team was going. So Gary went to Minnesota, where he worked alongside Gary Payton for a year, obviously being one of the organization's offensive consultants there. Also, Benjamin reported on PFN Weekly that he's got the Gary Kubiak stamp of approval. So Gary Payton, obviously impressed in his interview as well, was able to fly in, get a tour of the facility at the UC Health Training Center, and was also able to sit down for a more extensive, more personal interview. And when it comes to interviewing folks, you know, when you have an interview via Zoom, it's not as personable. You're not there in person. You don't get to read the room. You don't get a look to the guy to your left, the guy to your right, which obviously Joe Ellis, John Elway, Vic Fangio, and obviously Patrick Smythe. You don't get to see that necessarily as a candidate when you go in for an interview via a virtual setting. You get to see their faces all on a screen. So it's a little different, not as personable. And Albright also reported that Gary Payton could be the candidate that Denver's going to. He's the in-house favorite as it stands right now. He also mentioned that Champ Kelly could come in and play that role of what Matt Russell played for the Broncos. He could be that VP of player personnel coming in altogether for Denver. So that could be a package deal where you see Gary Payton as the new GM, and you can see Champ Kelly as the Matt Russell to the Denver Broncos, which I think would be a great combination for Denver with what they've got going on. When you take a look at Gary Payton as well, some of the questions that come to mind, and you look at the history of Minnesota, they had Case Keenum in that season where he was playing like an MVP candidate in 2017. And then after that, when he left, well, they went out and they got Kirk Cousins. So he's made splashes before to get a big time, big name quarterback. And there's some heat that he could potentially do the same here for Denver if he is not sold on Drew Lock. And ultimately, it's going to come down to him on that decision. Some of the questions that were thrown out there and some of the responses that the GM candidates had put out there, according to Nine News' Mike Kliss, is that Justin Simmons was talked about as being a priority for the organization to keep by these candidates that Denver has interviewed. So obviously, we have talked about that here on the show. Justin Simmons being signed to a long-term deal in Denver is absolutely critical. I think it's paramount for the success of the defense going forward. Vic Fangio wants him back. And a guy like Chap Kelly, who, you know, saw the talent of a guy like Eddie Jackson and brought him into Chicago, I think he's going to understand that. And the numbers that Justin Simmons has put up speaks volumes as to deserving a contract extension. So for Gary Payton and Champ Kelly, if that is in fact what does happen, and Denver's hoping to make a deal, Denver's hoping to get the new GM in place by Friday at the latest, so we could see an announcement come within 24 hours. We could see it today. We could see it within 48 hours. But I would be very shocked if it extends past Friday. I imagine Denver's going to want to get on the ball very quickly because the new GM is going to have to come in. They're going to take a look at the roster, the staff. They're going to have to maybe overhaul, add some new renovations, obviously bring in some key people maybe that they've worked with personally. There's some rumblings out there as well about as to who maybe Gary Payton could bring in with him. There's always a possibility for that, a staff overhaul. And there's obviously some questions as well as to who may be back in Denver, obviously inside the front office. We'll take a look at some of those things, obviously, as that news becomes available here on Locked On Broncos. But a lot of decisions, especially as the offseason is going to wear on, the divisional playoffs, then you have the AFC, NFC Championship weekend next weekend, and then you have the Super Bowl just about 3.5 weeks away altogether. So for the Broncos, they can't waste any time. Once the new GM is announced, they're going to have the press conference, and then bam, I mean, that GM is going to get to work right away as to what they're going to do to change the Denver Broncos for the better going into 2021. So with that said, Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to talk with Broncos fans. We asked the question as to what is more important for Denver and the new GM this offseason. Is it focusing on the offense? Is it focusing on the defense? Or is it a combination of the two? We talk about that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, folks, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at TurboTax. And you're unique, and so are your taxes. TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who listen to you, who learn about your unique tax situations, and answer your questions. And on top of all of that, they can do your taxes from start to finish. Maybe you started investing, you want some reassurance from an expert that you were doing things right. Maybe you're just now self-employed and you need some expert advice as to what qualifies as a home office deduction. Or maybe you'd rather have an expert file your taxes for you so that you can focus on what matters most. No matter what your situation is, TurboTax Live tax experts can answer your questions, give you tax advice, review your return before you file, or even do it all for you. TurboTax Live gives you confidence that your uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. File with the help of an expert or let an expert file for you. All right, Broncos country, coming into our next topic of discussion here on Lockdown Broncos. Just a reminder, we're on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Make sure you guys hit that like or that subscribe button to get daily Broncos content here on Lockdown Broncos. But we post a question to Broncos country. What should be more important for the new Broncos GM when he comes in, when the announcement is made officially? Should they focus on the offense more so, or should they focus on the defense? I asked Broncos fans to throw out their suggestion and to also support their stance. We're going to start things off here with Lou_S13. Lou says defense. It's much older. Contract situations are more fluid and it has more holes to fill. And when I look at the Broncos defensively here, Lou, I can see some of the holes you're talking about. We talk about cornerback right now. I mean, nobody is certain about what the cornerback position will look like. If Denver could get Bryce Callahan back healthy in 2021, that's going to be great. Michael Ojemudia is going to be a rising star. He's going to be a phenomenal young player for years to come. Obviously, with the amount of forced fumbles, he's not afraid to be physical. You love that. He obviously some areas he has to improve in. But Denver needs some help in terms of having some actual coverage guys. I mean, Bryce Callahan is that guy. AJ Bouye could have been that guy, but he's going to be suspended the first two games of the season. There's a chance that Bouye may not even be back in 2021 for Denver. And we just watched the national championship game. Look, Patrick Surtain, he was a guy I was watching. And look, man, he's got the physical tools. He's got the mental attributes to be a long-term cornerback one in the National Football League. And once I get my hands on All-22 for Alabama in the national championship game, I'm going to focus extensively on Patrick Surtain. I tell you what, I want him in a Broncos uniform. Plain and simple. If I'm a defensive guy, which you guys know that I am, I'm a defensive guy. I may be biased because I'm also a cornerback guy because I played that position. I love it. Patrick Surtain checks every box that, you know, I need. There's obviously some things in his game. He's not a perfect prospect, folks. And don't get me wrong, he's a round one talent, All-American player. But there's things he's going to have to improve on when he comes in the National Football League. You know, you draft the guy high because of the potential and the fit that you envision for him inside your scheme, inside your organization, and you hope to develop some of the tools that he has and hope that he can learn quick. And that's going to be the thing with Surtain. I think he could do it. He played for one of the best coaches in history, and obviously in Nick Saban, who focuses a lot on the defensive backside of things. And look, Patrick Surtain is that guy for Alabama. He was that guy for Alabama, and he could be in play for the Broncos when they're picking at 9 in this year's NFL draft. But then you talk about the contracts of Von Miller. Obviously, the club options coming up. We talked about that this week here on the show. Justin Simmons in need of a contract extension, which, according to reports that the general manager candidates that were interviewed brought up Justin Simmons as a focus, as a priority for what they want to take care of. That makes me a little bit more confident as the offseason starts to wear on here. I mean, the season's been over for Denver for about 2 weeks now, but it feels like this offseason, the two-week span has gone on for forever in terms of figuring out where Denver is going to go here. So, Lou, there's obviously some things there. Obviously, with Alexander Johnson being a restricted free agent, we're going to swipe right there. When we played our tender game yesterday on yesterday's Lockdown Broncos, he's obviously going to be 28 years old. He's older than Todd Davis, for that matter. I think he's actually going to be 29 going into next season. So, obviously, there's that factor there. But then you factor in Kareem Jackson, where he's at with his age. I mean, if we focus on age, we're losing the sight of the bigger picture. Absolutely. You should be concerned. You should be cautious when it comes to an aging player, a guy who's been in the league for a long, long time. But I think that when you look at Kareem Jackson's on-field play, you don't even worry about his age because he didn't play according to how you'd envision a 31-year-old, 32-year-old player would play in the NFL. Kareem Jackson has been playing like he's still 24 years old, which is exciting. And he takes good care of his body. He's a phenomenal player for Denver. So I'm not too worried about that, but I do think that cornerback is probably one of the bigger holes that Denver has to fill this offseason. Michael Andrade is up next. He says, shore up the defensive line. The offensive line chemistry is going to get much better. I don't know how much I would focus on the defensive line here, Michael. And the reason I say that is because, DeMarcus Walker, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. I would hope that Denver tries to keep him. I think he's done really well under Vic Fangio. I think he could be one of those players. Seeing him and Draymond Jones on the field together, I think, is very fun. There's some question marks right now, too, about Shelby Harris. Is Shelby Harris going to stay in Denver? How does the new GM impact that? I think that Shelby should stay in Denver. I think he's contributed well. He can still play at a very high level. You have that. Mike Purcell is going to be coming back off the foot injury. Jarrell Casey is going to be the one question mark. If Shelby Harris stays, Jarrell Casey more than likely does not. If Shelby Harris goes, I could see Jarrell Casey staying. Obviously, he's coming off of that injury as well to his bicep. I think that overall for Denver, defensive line is not as big of a concern to me because you see Deshaun Williams, a guy that really stepped up and played a prominent role defensively for Denver this year. He's a great guy there. McTelvin Ajim is an up-and-coming player that has some really strong physical traits to be good in Denver. And if he can continue to develop, I mean, he could be one of those players that becomes an unstoppable plug and play guy as a three technique or even a one tech in various situations. I know Denver is very high on Sosa right now, so keep an eye on that. But I'm not too worried about the defensive line at this point. At Just Tylen on Twitter says, focus on the offense. For years, the Broncos have been pedestrian on that side of the ball. You have Patrick Mahomes, you have Justin Herbert, and you have Derek Carr in the division, guys who can put up numbers at any point. At some point, you're going to have to make a move to get a franchise quarterback. In Thailand, what I was talking about a little bit earlier in the show, when it comes to the general manager candidates, they have the ultimate decision-making authority. Now, let's say that George Payton is the guy. I throw out the possibility that this guy, George Payton, who's been part of helping make some of those big splash plays. Obviously, Kirk Cousins was a big signing for Minnesota. He had a hand in that, obviously. He's going to have the full decision-making authority here. Do the Broncos go with Drew Lock? If Payton or whoever the new GM is going to be is not confident in Drew Lock to be the guy, they're not going to waste their time. They're really not. Like, they may keep Drew on the roster to be a guy who can compete at training camp, but they're going to be, making some calls. They may be moving up in the NFL draft. They may be trying to get a guy in the NFL draft. I mean, all options are on the table right now because we really do not know. And I think that, like I said, if John Elway was coming back as the GM, I think that Drew Lock gets 2021. But now that John Elway is going to fade off into the sunset, I don't know if Drew Lock is going to have that favor of a new GM that's going to come in and say, look, we have to be realistic. We've watched you on tape. There's things that you've done well. There's things you need to improve on, but we're not in a position right now to wait. But I also want to counter on the other hand. I think Denver's in a perfect position right now because they do have time on their side. You have the youngest offense right now in the National Football League. You're getting some of these guys back. You're getting Cortland Sutton back. You're getting Albert Okwuegbunam back in 2021. You have some pieces there. Running back right now is a little bit more questionable to me because we don't know what the situation is going to be. Are the Broncos going to tender Phillip Lindsay? That's the hope is that they do. What about Melvin Gordon? He's going to be suspended the first 3 weeks of the 2021 NFL regular season. You have some tough decisions you have to make. Running back could be a position of need for Denver this offseason. So while I understand that the Broncos have been pedestrian on the offensive side of the ball, there's been flashes, right? But our biggest issue, Tylan, is that when we go back and we watch the film, Denver shows these flashes on offense, but they're not consistent enough as to showing them as much as we need to see, right? Week to week, it's, you know, you're going to get one offense 1 week that is moving the ball at ease. I want to go to the Kansas City game. I thought Denver did a really good job there. They moved the ball well against a Super Bowl contender, obviously the former Super Bowl champs as well from last year. And then they have a game where they can't even move the ball at all down the field offensively. They struggle against Buffalo in a sense. Buffalo played that bend but not break style in that first half, but then they just absolutely got after Denver in that second half. You can't have these spurts where you play good football for one half and you play bad in the second half. We call it 60 minutes of football for a reason. I know it's cliche because we hear it all the time, but Denver has to find a way to play 60 complete minutes of offensive football, good offensive football. They finished the season averaging 20 points per game. Unfortunately, this was a year where the NFL saw the top scoring team average about 34 points per game. That's not going to get a cut. So Denver was bottom ranked in the NFL at 20 points per game, folks. One of the worst offenses in the NFL in 2020. They have a lot of talent. They have the talent. They have the personnel. I don't think you're going to have to change up much, but they could be making a move for the quarterback position to amplify the talent of those skill guys around him. And that could make Denver a better offensive unit overall. Jeremy Nichols is up next. He says, I would say focus on the offense because the offense not doing well, it directly affects the defensive rating and, of course, vice versa. But the Broncos have had a decent to above average defense for a while. The offense has made the defense look worse. If you fix the offense, you're going to be in a better position, in my opinion. I agree with you, Jeremy. Look, there's times where we saw the Broncos defense on the field way too long, right? And eventually, as a defense, you're going to have to get stops. Now, I'd say Denver did a majority of the carrying. They did a lot of backpacking in 2020 when it comes to the overall product on the football field. However, my biggest concern was, we talk about offensive consistency, is that there were times where the offense was playing well and then the defense would struggle. It's like, I understand we don't live in a perfect world where you're going to have a very dominant offense and a very dominant defense. If that was the case, we'd see a team go 16-0, maybe 15-1 in the NFL, and obviously en route to the Super Bowl, win in dominant fashion. Now, if the Broncos had the 2013 offense and the 2015 defense combined, I mean, they would win the Super. They probably would win the Super Bowl 3 or 4 years in a row if they kept the roster intact, if they kept the philosophy intact, absolutely. But you don't see that in the NFL because salary cap impacts everything. So how is it that you can amplify? How can you develop the guys that you currently have on your roster? We take a look at all the skill positions. Denver's in a great place. The questions I have on the offensive side of the ball, right tackle, right guard. Graham Glasgow, you know, like I said, I think when he's been healthy, he's been good for Denver. But then there's times where he's playing injured or there's times where he's not available, and that worries me about Denver. So that's why we've been able to get a look at Netani Muti, who, look, in my opinion, after 2021, he could be the front runner, be a favorite to start at right guard for Denver. But right tackle is the biggest question mark right now. Denver has to find a way to improve there. And if Juwan James comes back in 2021, he's going to have to play. If he does not play in 2021, I imagine the NFL would probably give the Broncos an option to maybe get rid of his contract because it is definitely an eyesore right now when it comes to what's impacting Denver, and they could save a lot of money if that were the case. But Broncos Country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to finish out our responses here with Broncos Country. We're going to give a couple talking points as well. But before we do that, folks, I got to tell you guys about the other sponsor of today's episode of the show, our good friends over there at betonline.ag. The NFL divisional playoffs are just around the corner this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, and there's only one place that has you covered, and there's only one place that we trust. That is betonline.ag, the official sports book of the Locked On Podcast Network. You sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus, folks. Some of the biggest headlines in sports are always discussion points. Where are certain coaches going to end up? Where are certain GMs going to end up? And we put that on the line, obviously, with some of the lines they have there at betonline.ag. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Jumping into the fourth quarter on today's episode of Locked On Broncos, folks, take a look at some of the responses we received at Lil Blue Cheese. Says defense, get Vic Fangio the pieces that he needs to craft an elite defense. There is a ton of work that needs to be done in free agency and the draft. Most of the existing young talent is on the offensive side of the ball. They just need to develop and stay healthy. The only real big question mark is quarterback. You're spot on. I mean, we talked about that. I mean, quarterback right now is a question mark. And look, I'm a guy. I'm in the thing. I watch film. I love Tim Jenkins. I talk with Tim Jenkins all the time. I'm also on the fence right now about Drew Lock. Look, there's things, like I said, I can acknowledge that he's done some things really well. I didn't think he played bad against the Raiders at all. I thought he actually played really well, and I thought he played really well against the Chargers too. But here's the deal. You can't just play like, okay, you know, is he going to be the guy? Is he not going to be the guy? If you're unsure, you don't make a move to get away from him. You bring in you make a move to either amplify to get a better player at that position and he can learn from that guy, or you bring in a guy for competition. I think both options right now are realistically on the table. Denver's not going to part ways with Drew Lock. I think the only scenario that would ever happen is if they were to trade him, and that was to be maybe to acquire Deshaun Watson. But look, here's the reality, folks. Denver right now, they're not in the running for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is unlikely to be traded. And I know it's a pipe dream. I know that Deshaun Watson would absolutely elevate everything on the offensive side of the ball for Denver, but it's not going to happen right now. And more than likely, it's not going to happen ever, at least in the next 2 to 3 years. At least it's not going to happen for Denver. I don't know about Deshaun Watson, but I know it's not going to more than likely be in Denver. However, I mean, we can see the new GM. You can see George Payton. If he is the guy, you could see him call the Detroit Lions and try to get a guy like Matthew Stafford. That could be on the table. I don't know if that's going to be a beneficial move depending on the direction you want to head as an organization with a young offense, or you get a guy like Sam Darnold, who the Broncos previously had a lot of high expectations on. They had him high on their board. It was Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Bradley Chubb. Both those guys were off the table. Maybe you go there, because I think if you bring Sam Darnold in, you're going to label it as competition in training camp, but Sam Darnold's going to be your week one starter altogether. Todd Willis says, the thing holding the Broncos back on offense as quarterback. That is where the Broncos need to improve greatly, then work on defense on all three levels. Look, I think that Denver on the defensive line is fine. I think the back end of that secondary with Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons, if Denver locks up Simmons, I think they're great. They're obviously going to have to find a little bit of a long-term replacement for Kareem Jackson. Obviously, as he gets up there and older and his contract starts to dwindle down for Denver, he could end up restructuring his contract. That could be a possibility that we see there. And cornerback. Outside of that, I think Denver, you know, linebacker and cornerback are probably the two positions where Denver maybe needs to upgrade and add some talent there. We talked about Justin Sternett on yesterday's episode of the show. He could be an absolute wild card for Denver. He's a hybrid safety, outside backer, middle backer type player. He could be that answer there. So maybe linebacker internally isn't going to be viewed as that significant of a need, whereas I think cornerback probably takes the cake defensively. On the offensive side of the ball, though, we talk about it. It is quarterback. That is the common consensus. New type underscore JK47 says, we have built a good offensive core, but with right tackle being a glaring need, it is time to invest a bit in our secondary as we badly need cornerbacks. We need an eventual replacement for Kareem Jackson at safety and maybe even get an inside linebacker to help Alexander Johnson and Josie Jewell. Even the Fangio system needs talent. And yeah, I think that Vic Fangio, and this is where the Broncos' emphasis on player development, I think, really comes in handy. I mean, that's what Vic Fangio has done. They've really emphasized player development. However, with some of these guys that you're stashing away to continually develop, you may have to throw them into the fire a lot earlier, because I think in 2021 is going to be a big year. I don't know who the new GM is going to be. I don't know the first decision he's going to make, if the coaching staff will be back. I imagine it will be. 2021 is going to be a filling out process. It's really going to be a pilot year, and the new GM is going to use it as a test run. I mean, it's going to be a great experience for him to have the operational authority to go through a first season as a general manager, whoever the hiree is going to be, to use the 2021 season to make the decision whether or not it's going to bring anybody back, bring the coaching staff back in 2022, or make some big time changes. It's going to be a fill out process. And I think that's probably a best case scenario, because look, then, you know, it's not your guy. You could say, look, we tried it, it didn't work. And then 2022, completely bring in an entire new face on the coaching side of things. Maybe keep obviously some of the position coaches, but everything's going to look different if in fact things don't go well for Denver in 2021. So I think it's going to play out that way scenario wise. I don't think Denver's in a position to really make changes at head coach right now, or even some of the coaching positions besides special teams coordinator. Don't even know if they're going to make a change at offensive coordinator. But the thing that does stand out to me is that if Payton gets the job, obviously there's some familiarity there with Pat Shurmur. We talk about the Case Keenum years. I imagine that Shurmur is going to be safe. So I don't know how much is going to change on the offensive side of the ball, except the fact that there could be a new quarterback in Denver. Obviously, when that news happens, if it happens, obviously we'll break it down here on Lockdown Broncos. Our last one here on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, comes from Milky _ Puff. He says, easy. You got to focus on the offensive side of the ball. If nothing else, even if the defense suffers greatly and our record fails to improve, it will be a change of pace from scoring 16 points 75% of the time. I'd rather at least lose in a novel fashion at this point. I know a lot of people want the Broncos to put up more points, and I think if you're going to compete in the AFC West, if you're going to win games, you have to absolutely put up points. You have to go on the young side of things. And I think Denver has a lot of the young personnel to be able to put up a lot of points in the National Football League. However, you're still going to have defense. And when it all boils down to it, at the end of the day, defense still matters. You can score 45 points, but if you're giving up 50 points, it's not going to work. Let's take a look at the Cleveland Browns versus Pittsburgh Steelers game from this past weekend. I mean, that was I believe it was 48-35 score. I'm sorry, that is horrible. That is stressful. I know football fans complain about the offense not being able to score points, but you know how many Broncos fans are going to complain if the defense is giving up 25, 30 points a game? It's going to be horrible. I mean, it's going to be very unbearable to be on social media, folks, because I tell you what, that philosophy, it's not good. You have to find a way to find balance. If you could have a great offense and a strong defense, that's great. If you could have a strong defense and an offense that can manage the game, you're also in good hands there. You still have to find a way to put up points. And look, for defense, the Broncos have to find a way to force more turnovers. That's going to be the key to success in 2021, forcing more turnovers. The Broncos didn't do enough of that in 2020. It came back to bite them in the ass and offensively scoring more points. I mean, it's two-sided. I mean, there's two ways to it. The offense needs to do their job. The defense needs to do their job as well. And if they can get there, if they can get those takeaways, if they can convert in the red zone, if they can score points, it's an entirely different conversation. Denver maybe wins those games. And I think they have a more favorable schedule in 2021 than they had in 2020. So obviously a lot of talking points and things we're going to have to take a look at in the long term when it comes to this Denver Broncos football team. But Broncos country, once the announcement happens on the new Broncos GM, we're hoping that could be today. It could be in the next 24 hours, 48 hours. I don't expect it to go past Friday, but whenever that does happen, we will drop an emergency podcast here on Lockdown Broncos, your favorite podcast provider, with that news and with that information. But with that said, folks, continue to interact with me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL, at Lockdown Broncos. We're putting graphics together. We're going to do some giveaways here soon, some gear, some items, as well as we approach the NFL offseason. Want to give back to Broncos country for all their love and all their support that they've shown us here this season, all 2020 in a crazy year, and on the better things in 2021.